Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time, we're going to be taking a look at a paper by Michael Fisk from December 2023.
Okay.
And it's a really, really fascinating one.
Cool.
Basically, the idea is we're going to be exploring these things called Turing incomputable functions. So
Okay.
these are functions that are so complex that even the most powerful computer can't solve them.
Really pushes the boundaries of what we can actually do with computation.
Exactly.
Like, what can we actually figure out
Yeah, and
using computers?
the thing that makes this even more interesting is we're going to be looking at this concept through the lens of something called a coloring system.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of a coloring system before?
I have not.
Okay, so basically the idea is
Sounds pretty straightforward, though.
it does sound really straightforward, but it gets really, really complex very, very quickly.
Okay.
So imagine like a grid, like a big pixel art canvas.
Okay.
And you had to color each square using a specific set of colors and rules.
Oh, okay, I see.
So it's like a logic puzzle where you have to figure out, like, okay, how do I arrange these colors based on these rules?
Gotcha.
And Fisk, in his paper, defines a coloring system as having a set of colors, let's call it C. And then there's a FIS, which is your starting color.
Okay.
And then you have the set H and V, which are the rules about which colors can be next to each other horizontally and vertically.
Okay, so like a rule could be red can't be next to green.
Yeah, exactly. It
I
could
mean,
be red can only be next to blue horizontally, but vertically it can be next to green.
I see.
So like all these different rules that determine like how you're allowed to place the colors.
Okay.
And to give you a specific example, Fisk in his paper uses a set of 13 colors.
Wow.
So we've got red, blue, forest green, purple, yellow, pink, aqua, gray, teal, lime green, brown, candy green, and orange.
Okay, so the pretty big set of colors to work with.
Yeah, and blue is the starting point. So
Okay.
you always start with blue in the center, and then you have to kind of work outwards from there.
And these colors can only be placed next to each other based on the rules.
Based on the rules, exactly.
Gotcha.
And he lays out a very specific set of rules.
Okay.
So, like, I think one of the rules is red can only be next to blue or yellow horizontally,
Okay.
but vertically, it can be paired with forest green, yellow, pink, teal, lime green, or orange.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it can touch a lot more colors vertically.
Vertically, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So already we're starting to see, like, okay, this is getting a little bit complicated.
Yeah, 13 colors and all those rules, I'm already starting to get a headache.
Yeah, and this is just the setup.
Yeah,
Like,
right.
this is just how the coloring system is defined.
What's the catch?
Well, here's the catch. Some of these coloring systems, even with a limited number of colors and seemingly straightforward rules,
Okay.
are literally impossible to solve.
Wait, you're telling me there's no way to color the entire grid
Yeah.
while following all the rules.
You got it.
How's that even possible?
Well, that's where these Turing incomputable functions come
Okay, so that's what makes them
in.
incomputable.
Exactly. So how do we even begin to like wrap our heads around these unsolvable coloring systems?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Right.
It seems pretty complicated already.
Yeah.
How do we even figure that out?
So to understand that, we need to kind of dive into how these colorings are represented mathematically.
Okay.
Okay, so Fisk uses this method called the diagonal map.
Okay.
Imagine like you're numbering each tile on the grid in a systematic way, starting from the top left corner and kind of moving diagonally across the grid.
Oh, okay. So instead of thinking of colors, we're thinking of numbers now.
Yeah, basically we're converting this visual representation of the grid into a sequence of numbers,
Okay.
right? So each number represents a tile in its color.
I see.
And if a sequence of numbers follows all the rules of the coloring system, then it's called an acceptable color sequence.
Okay, that makes sense.
But if we already know that some of these coloring problems are impossible,
Right.
why even bother with the sequences?
Yeah, what's the point of that?
That's a really good question.
If we know there's no solution.
And that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
So for these impossible coloring problems, there's no way to know in advance how long you have to keep trying different color sequences before you can definitively say there's no solution here.
Oh, so you could be trying forever.
Potentially, yeah.
And never find a solution.
And never know when to stop.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's what's known as the incomputable bound.
Okay, the incomputable bound.
So it's this idea that you can't compute how long to search before you give up.
I see.
And that's precisely what makes these functions incomputable.
Okay.
You can't calculate how long to search before giving up.
That's pretty wild.
So how does Fisk prove that this bound is in fact incomputable?
Yeah, how do we know for sure?
Well, he tackles this head on with his main theorem.
Okay.
and it's a little bit of a mind bender. He basically states that if you can always find a longer acceptable color sequence,
okay,
no matter how many you've already found, then there must be an infinitely long sequence.
So you're saying if there's no limit to how long these sequences can get,
right,
then a solution must exist.
Right.
But we know some of these coloring problems don't have solutions.
Exactly.
So that means what?
That means there can't be a way to calculate how long to keep searching for a solution.
Because if there was,
right,
we could solve any coloring problem,
yes,
even the ones we know are impossible.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. This is blowing my mind a little bit.
Yeah. And so this leads us to like a specific example that illustrates this idea of an incomputable function.
Okay.
So Fisk describes this function called moof of n.
Mu of n.
Yeah. So imagine this. For any number of colors n, this function tells you the maximum number of steps you need to take before you can be absolutely certain there's no solution.
So it's like a guide telling you when to stop searching.
You could think of it that way.
Okay.
But here's the kicker.
What's that?
Fisk's paper proves that this function moof of n cannot be calculated by any computer.
Oh, wow. So even the function that tells you when to stop is impossible to calculate.
Is incomputable.
Okay, so we have these coloring problems that are impossible to solve.
Right.
And we have a function that's impossible to calculate to tell us when to give up.
Exactly.
It's like we're hitting the limits of what's knowable.
Yeah, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, no.
Like, these incomputable functions, they have huge implications for all sorts of things, like artificial intelligence cryptography.
Wow.
And even our understanding of, like, what's possible to know.
Okay, I am officially hooked.
Me too.
This is way more than just coloring inside the lines.
It is, and we're going to need to dig into those implications more after a quick break, so stay with us.
Oh, good.
So before the break, we were really getting into this idea of incomputable functions.
Yeah, these coloring systems that are impossible to solve.
Right, and we've even talked about this function moo of n that's supposed to tell us when to stop searching for a solution.
Right.
But even that function can't be calculated.
Yeah, it's like trying to find something that doesn't exist.
It's like the universe is telling us, nope, this is beyond your reach.
Exactly.
So where do we go from here?
That's a great question.
Like, what are the implications of all this?
Well, one of the really interesting areas where this comes up is in artificial intelligence.
AI. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, at their core, AI systems are all about algorithms and computation. Right.
Okay, so they're basically trying to process information.
Exactly. They're trying to learn and solve problems by following instructions.
But what happens when they encounter a problem that's fundamentally incomputable?
That's the big question, right?
Yeah.
Because even the most advanced AI system is still bound by the laws of computation.
So are you saying that there are some problems that AI will never be able to solve?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends on how you define solve.
Okay.
But there are definitely problems that are beyond the reach of traditional computational methods.
So that would kind of be a game changer for the field of AI research, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it challenges our assumptions about what AI can do.
Yeah. It makes us think about what are the limits of intelligence itself?
Exactly.
Are there other areas where this comes up besides AI?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like what?
Think about cryptography, for instance.
Okay, so that's like codes and stuff.
Yeah, like creating secure codes that are really difficult to break.
Right.
And so imagine if you could use these principles of incomputability to develop a new kind of encryption.
So like an unbreakable code.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, something that would be impossible to crack, even with infinite computing power.
That would be pretty incredible.
It would be revolutionary.
So these incomputable functions, while they might highlight the limits of what we can compute, they also open up all these new possibilities.
Exactly. It's like a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It's like revealing our limitations, but also pointing us towards new frontiers.
I'm starting to see why you find this topic so fascinating.
Yeah, it really makes you think about, like, what's knowable and what's not.
It's like we're peering into the essence of knowledge itself. I have to admit, though, even with all these explanations, it's still hard to grasp, like, what these incomputable functions actually look like.
Yeah.
They're so abstract.
They're so theoretical.
How do we even begin to wrap our heads around something that we can't even calculate or visualize?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's like trying to describe a color that's never been seen before.
Yeah.
Right? But I think the analogy of the coloring system is really helpful here.
Right. Those grids with all the colors and the rules.
Exactly. And even though they might seem simple on the surface, they capture the essence of what makes these functions incomputable.
Okay.
Like, think about those impossible coloring problems. where there's no solution, no matter how you arrange the colors.
Right.
The fact that there's no way to determine how long you should keep searching for a solution, that's the key takeaway here.
That incomputable bound.
Exactly.
The inability to find a stopping point.
That's what sets these functions apart from everything else we know about computation.
So we've established that there are these limits to computation. But what does that actually mean for the future of the field? Like, are we headed towards a world where we're just going to be constantly bumping up against these incomputable walls?
That's the big question right now. And it's something that researchers in theoretical computer science are actively working on.
So it's like we're explorers venturing into uncharted territory.
Exactly. We don't know what's out there.
But we know there are limits.
Yeah. We have to be prepared for the unexpected.
And develop new tools, new methods, new ways of thinking.
Absolutely.
This whole deep dive has really been a humbling experience.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that there's still so much we don't know.
And that's okay, right?
More than okay. It's exciting.
It is.
It means there's still so much left to discover.
So as we approach the end of our journey,
okay,
what's the one key takeaway?
Mm-hmm.
What should our listeners be pondering as they go about their day?
You know, I think the most important thing is to embrace the mystery.
Okay.
Don't be afraid of the unknown. In fact, lean into it.
I love that.
Be curious. Ask questions, even when the answers seem impossible to find.
So for those listeners who are feeling particularly adventurous,
yeah,
what would you challenge them to explore further?
Well, if they really want to go deep, I'd recommend checking out Michael Fisk's paper itself.
Okay.
It's a challenging read.
Yeah.
But it's really rewarding.
And don't be intimidated if you're not a mathematician.
Exactly.
We've laid a good foundation here, and Fisk does a great job of explaining these concepts.
He really does.
And for those who prefer a more visual approach, there are tons of online resources about tiling problems.
Oh, yeah. Tiling problems are a great way to visualize these concepts.
So it's like a more hands-on way to engage with these ideas.
Exactly.
Well, I think we've given our listeners plenty to think about today.
We have.
This has been a mind-expanding journey into the world of Turing incomputable functions.
For sure.
We've explored the limits of computation, the nature of knowledge, and the beauty of unanswered questions.
And most importantly, we've learned that sometimes the most profound insights come from acknowledging what we don't know.
From embracing the mystery that lies at the heart of our universe.
Exactly.
Welcome back to the show, everybody.
It's good to be back.
So we've spent the last two parts really diving deep into this idea of Turing incomputable functions, right? These functions that even the most powerful computer can't solve.
Absolutely. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah. And we've talked about, you know, these coloring systems that are impossible to solve.
Yeah.
We talked about, you know, the limits of AI, the potential for unbreakable encryption, all sorts of really, really cool things.
It really highlights the kind of mysterious nature of computation in a way.
It does, yeah. It makes you realize that, you know, we tend to think of computers as being able to do anything, but there are certain limits.
Definitely.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm curious, is there one key insight that you really hope our listeners will take away from this whole episode?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for me is this idea of embracing the unknown.
Okay.
You know, like, we've spent so much time talking about these problems that are impossible to solve. But I think there's a certain beauty in that.
Yeah, like a sense of wonder.
Exactly. Like, it reminds us that there's still so much out there that we don't understand.
It's okay.
It's more than okay.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It is.
It means there's still so much left to discover.
So for our listeners who are, you know, maybe feeling a little bit intimidated by all this talk about incomputable functions and, you know, these really complex mathematical concepts.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
I would say don't be afraid to dive in and explore.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, we've given you a taste of what's out there, but there's so much more to discover.
And there are resources available, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, where should people go if they want to learn more?
Well, you know, obviously Michael Fisk's paper is a great place to start.
Okay.
But there are also tons of great books and articles and online resources about this stuff.
Yeah, and even just like playing around with some of these concepts yourself.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, we talked about this tiling problem. So you can actually find, you know, websites and apps that let you kind of experiment with different tiling patterns.
It's a really fun way to get a hands-on understanding of these ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might even discover something new.
You never know.
Exactly.
Well, on that note, I think we've given our listeners plenty to think about today.
We have.
This deep dive into Turing incomputable functions has been a really mind-bending experience.
It has.
We've explored the limits of computation, the nature of knowledge, and the beauty of unanswered questions.
And I think most importantly, we've learned that sometimes the most profound insights come from embracing what we don't know.
From acknowledging the mystery that surrounds us.
Exactly.
So until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and never stop wondering. This is The Deep Dive, signing off.